One small change for Perry Thompson could result in a breakout year.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and let's get this week started. Happy Monday. Let's get this thing kicked off and rolling in the right direction. Auburn's got this big junior day coming up. You just come off a basketball win. But what we're going to talk about today, as we get ready, as we're transitioning into the 2026 season, we got recruiting going on. We're kind of previewing, getting ready for spring practice and what this new look offense, new quarterback, a lot of new faces are going to look like. We're going to talk about little things that we hope to see that could result in big gains for the Auburn offense, for the Auburn team as a whole. And today I'm going to focus on Perry Thompson and then kind of clarify some stuff from last night's show as well. But before we get started, you got to sign up for thebarnauburn.com. You get $25 off for 2025 on your annual membership. You get access to all the recruiting threads, all of the game day threads, just all of the fun conversations and relationships that you can make. Just ton of fun. Great group, great community we're creating over there. Jump in on the action today. Just go to thebarnauburn.com and sign up and have some fun. So, guys, make sure to check it out. Perry Thompson. Look, I think everybody obviously is still very excited about the potential of Perry Thompson and the tools and the physical gifts that he has and what he could become in Auburn and what he could unlock in this offense. And I think last year there were some expectations that maybe were a little bit too lofty. I know we had a lot of hype with the freeze four, and we wanted to see all the guys go for 1,000 yards. And then Perry was probably sort of, I mean, not counting Bryce King, probably I don't want to say unsung hero because he wasn't a hero, but I would say he was a guy that you probably thought could have had more of an impact that just didn't have an impact at all. I would say last year he had zero impact on the offense when you probably, most of us probably hoped that he would have a much more of an impact. And that just obviously can't happen anymore. But, you know, the wide receiver room is still pretty crowded with talented guys. So how do you get him in there? How do you get him in the game? How do you take advantage of those physical gifts? And I think he's just too talented not to play. I mean, he played 49 total snaps all year last year. And in those 49 snaps, he got 12 targets. So he's able to he was able to get open in the very little times that he was in the game, or they were really trying to focus on feeding him the ball, like getting him the ball when he had his opportunities. How can we get him more snaps? If you look at the thing I want to talk about, it's not even really a position change. It's more of just where you line him up on the field. What role do you give Perry Thompson to make him be able to get more snaps, make him be able to get more opportunities to make plays, because he's just sort of wasting away if he's not on the field? So how can you do that? Again, outside wide receivers still going to be crowded. You got Singleton outside. You got Malcolm that can play outside. You got Horatio Fields that could play outside. And then obviously you got Cam Coleman, who will not ever come off the field unless Auburn is just way in the lead. Or he's injured. So you got Cam Coleman on one side that's never going to come off the field. And then you got those three guys that you're got to compete with on the other side that can play on the outside. It's a crowded room on the outside. I think one thing Auburn could do to get Perry Thompson more snaps is move him into the slot, move him into that big slot role. I think Perry Thompson inside is a opportunity for a lot of explosion out of that position. You know, last year, Rivaldo played 181 snaps in the slot, 181 snaps in the slot as a tight end at 6'4", 250 plus pounds. Perry could easily do the things that Rivaldo did in the slot out of those 181 snaps. He could easily, hey, just give him half of those snaps there. And I think you could have something extremely, extremely exciting on your hands. You could have a lot of potential for some fireworks on your hands. I mean, just think about what Hugh did with Evan Engram. First of all, their size is remarkably similar. Their size between Evan Engram and Perry Thompson are remarkably similar. So if you're worried about, oh, is Perry Thompson big enough? Is he strong enough? Is he big enough to be able to do the things that you got to do to be able to move him inside? I mean, if you look at their size, their height and weight, it's almost identical. 6'3", 225, 230. That's about where Evan Engram was, and that's obviously where Perry Thompson is. If anything, maybe he could gain 5 pounds, but he really doesn't even need to do that because he's already put together really, really well. So you know that he can, you know, from a size perspective, it's almost identical. Then you look at the speed. Evan ran a 4.42 at the combine. Now, you always got to give at the combine when you're training for the 40, you're always going to run it a little bit faster than you would in the middle of your football season or when you're in high school or just in general because you're training for that particular event. You're doing everything you can for that particular event. Now, I do think Evan Engram is a 4.5 or better guy. I don't know that he played at 4.42 at Ole Miss, but regardless, he's quick. He can move. Perry can run just as fast as that. Perry is every bit as fast as Evan Engram. We've seen him run 40s against Cam. We've seen him run 40s against Malcolm and be step for step. I think there was a big race. I think Malcolm put it on his Instagram Live. It was last summer camp, I think, right before the season, and it was Cam racing Perry Thompson. And I think Perry Thompson may have beat him. And then there's been videos of him running with Ryan Williams, and obviously Ryan Williams is at another level of speed, but it's not like he's just running away from Perry. He's definitely got the speed. As a matter of fact, that's the part of it that makes me the most excited to have that idea of having a guy at that size in the slot with those matchups that can run as fast as Perry can run. He may not be as quick as he is fast, which could even help even more in that position. So he's got the size. He's got the speed. I believe he's got the physicality to play. Rivaldo was – there's no one in the NFL, there's no one that will draft Rivaldo based off of his blocking skills. There's nobody out there that's going to look at him and say, I want that guy as one of my lead blockers in the run game. There's just nobody out because he just wasn't – that was his weakness. Blocking in space was his weakness. Perry is a willing – he was a very willing blocker whenever he was put in the game. I thought he did very well. I think he can move people. I think he can use that big body on those matchups. When you're talking 6'3", 230 against a 6'2", 190 defensive back, safety, you're talking about being able to move a body. And he's even big enough to match up against some of the linebackers in the SEC when you're having to seal off an edge or something like that or having to kick out. I just think there's nothing that Evan Engram did that Perry Thompson can't do. So why can't Perry Thompson be that? Why can't Perry Thompson be a guy that has, you know, 38 catches, 40 catches from the slot for, you know, close to 900 or whatever his – I think he had somewhere between – Evan averaged around 40 catches a year from, like, the last 3 years that he played football. Why can't that be Perry Thompson? Why can't Perry Thompson have 40 catches from the slot? I don't see any reason why that's something that can't happen. Again, you're not having to take a step back in run blocking. I just don't really see a drop off of him being able to move in and play that Rivaldo role. I mean, he's just a little bit smaller than Rivaldo, but he's every bit as the same size as guys that have done it in the past from that position and had a lot of success. I want to see Perry Thompson explode in 2025. I want to see that. I want to see Auburn eat up the middle of the field. And Perry Thompson is the way you do that, I think. You could at a smaller at a on a smaller scale, you could even you could put Horatio Fields in. I don't know what you're going to get out of Preston Howard from Maryland, the transfer tight end. Perry Thompson's a difference maker. Perry Thompson changes that whole offense. I want to see in the spring, I would love to see Perry Thompson get a little bit more action inside. Let Malcolm play outside. Let Malcolm play that KLS role. Let Singleton play that KLS role. And then you can move them wherever. And then let Cam do Cam on the other side. And then let Perry eat right over the middle. I think that will be a fun, a very, very fun lineup. And you know how whenever you're playing college football and you're running four verts, A, if you're an Xbox guy, A, that inside receiver is always open on four verts across the middle. That's Perry Thompson. That could be Perry Thompson. Eat up the middle of the field. I like the idea of him getting a shot there. So that's my that's one of the things. And there's going to be a lot of these over the next several weeks, like something that I'd love to see in spring that I think can make a big impact on the season in 2025. So let's see what happens with Perry, but I definitely think he's got to get – we got to figure out ways to get him involved, get him more involved. He's just too much of a matchup nightmare to not utilize. So let's see what happens. Want to shift gears and talk about basketball. If you listen to last night's show, we really focused on the Field of 68 show and the comments of Jeff Goodman. And I want to clarify something. The beginning of the show, the beginning of the clip that I played, Jeff Goodman is critiquing a defensive team. And I think Daryl thought it was Auburn, but it was not. It was actually the back end of the Kentucky and Alabama conversation. And he's critiquing, he's really banging on Kentucky's defense really hard, which Kentucky does struggle on defense. And I think Daryl thought that he was talking about Auburn's defense. And obviously he wasn't, but that wasn't even really the main focus of the conversation. That wasn't really the main focus of why I played that clip. It was mainly because at the tail end of that beginning part, he mentioned that he felt like Alabama and Duke's rosters were the most talented in college basketball. And then as he shifted to Auburn, even though Auburn's number one, even though Auburn's 17-1, even though Auburn's 10-1 in quad one wins, which is the record, by the way, for SEC teams. I think Auburn has the record for most quad one wins in a season, and we're not even, you know, we're barely halfway through the season. It's still a surprise. That was the main focus, Auburn's talent on the roster versus those other guys, and then that Auburn is still a surprise. Everything Auburn does is still a surprise. That was the main focus of the conversation last night. So a lot of people are getting hung up on the front part when that's like 1% of what the point of the conversation was. And it's like we're going on a crusade to talk about that little bitty piece that was missed. It was a misunderstanding. The main point were those last two points that I just mentioned. The main part of the discussion was the last two pieces that I mentioned. So my question is, and I want to kind of go off of last night, at what point is it not a surprise anymore? I'm sorry, but that is a slight. That is a slight. No matter which way you look at it, that is a slight. That is saying you're not good enough to be here, so how are you here? That's what he's saying. There is no other way to say that and mean anything different, okay? So saying someone's surprised to get here means you don't deserve to be here in the first place. So at what point does Auburn – how many more wins does it have to take before Auburn belongs where they belong? To where it's not a surprise anymore. You know what? Auburn beat Houston the second game of the year. That was surprising. I was not expecting that. But after Auburn beats Houston and then runs through Maui dry, okay, runs through Maui like it's nobody's business. After the Iowa State was a tough game, and then they just stroked everybody else. Okay, after that, what is surprising? What are you surprised about after that? You just beat You just beat Iowa State, who you love, who you think is one of the better teams in the country. You go to Duke and you almost beat Duke on their floor. Again, you win the Maui Invitational. You beat Houston, who's another team that you love. I mean, at what point are we, or what point is, or is it not a surprise anymore? What does Auburn have to do to where, what does Auburn basketball, what does Bruce have to do to where it's like, we're not talking about other teams and then Auburn that's playing above their potential. You know, they shouldn't be here at any point in time. It's going to crash down. I'm still surprised. Well, they keep winning. Now they're 18-1. Now they're 19-1. I'm still surprised. At what point is it just, hey, this is who Auburn is. They're good. They're good with Jahni Broom. They can beat you without Jahni Broom. They're pretty good. I would say the fact that they're winning the last two games without Jahni Broom shows even more how much they belong in the conversation. So that's the point that I took issue with, was they surprised me. They surprised me. It still surprised me. In other words, they're not talented. They don't have any. They're not elite, but they're playing above their head. They don't belong here, and that's what makes me angry. That's what makes me angry, because I'm so protective over Bruce and the things that he does. He deserves to be in the best conversations at the top of everything with anybody, and this team does too. Then it was that was the surprise thing that took issue. Then it was the talent thing. And we want to lump Alabama in, and we keep talking about this talented roster. Alabama's got this, they're just it's the most talented roster in college basketball. But you look at the makeup of that roster, and you look at the makeup of Auburn's roster, and this almost identical. I mean, you have transfers from Ohio University, Cal State Fullerton, North Dakota State, and Rutgers, who has been a good basketball team, but has not been anytime recently. Okay. So you got those guys. That's your main starting guys. Okay. And then you have a McDonald's all, then you have LeBaron, you have a five star. Okay. Shift over and look at Auburn's roster. You have a transfer from Florida International who scored 20 points a game. You have Chad Baker Mazar, who's played – he was a sixth man of the year at San Diego State. He's played at a couple of different places. You got Jahni Broom, Morehead State. That's probably a higher class. That's probably more competitive basketball than North Dakota State. Then you have Miles Kelly, who was the leading scorer of an ACC team. Now, not a great ACC team, but the leading scorer of an ACC team. And then you have your McDonald's All-American. You have Tahad Pettiford. I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference? One team is – I mean, they're both really good. They're both really talented. I don't understand why we keep talking about Alabama as having this just much more incredible roster from a talent perspective than Auburn. I don't really understand that, especially when you look at the records. That was the focus of the conversation last night. And then you look at, if you go starting five by starting five, how many of those do you trade for the other? That's a pretty good indication of talent to me. Again, I take exception when we have these conversations to where Auburn doesn't belong. Auburn's overachieving. At what point in time do we say they stopped overachieving? And maybe they're just achieving. Maybe they're just doing what they're supposed to be. Maybe they're just doing what this team, this team makeup. Maybe they're just doing what they're supposed to do. You know, they're shooting almost 40% as a team from three. That's crazy. Okay, that's elite. That's as elite as it was back whenever you're making a Final Four run. They're shooting great from the free throw line. Yes, there was some free throw lapses Saturday night. There were some free throw lapses late in the game. That's typically not been the case. They've been pretty daggum clutch hitting free throws down the stretch. That's been a kind of a thing. Tahad, Chad, Denver, those Denver shoots like 90% from three. He rarely misses free throws. I'm sorry, from free throw, not three. Shooting like 90% from the line. Okay. Auburn doesn't have a free throw problem. They shoot great from three. They shoot great from the line. They rebound really well. They block shots like crazy, and they get rebounds. Now, if anything, when certain lineups are out there, maybe they struggle on the boards a little bit. But, man, it's really hard to find a weakness. So why do we continue to talk about we're surprised? Why is this surprising? We're 17-1. Guys, it's way over halfway through the season. At some point in time, it's got to shift from it's a surprise that Auburn's here to this team's really good. I think if you look at the projections, KenPom projections, Auburn's projected to win every single game, maybe except for Alabama on the road. And that's fine. You're going to lose some games on the road. Auburn's pretty good. It's not really a surprise to anybody who watches basketball at this point in time, at this point in the season. I'll give you Houston. I'll give you Iowa State. Those are surprising. After that, geez, man, what else do you want? What else do you want? All right, I'm done. I'm vented. I'm over. We don't have basketball for like 6 days, okay? So I got to get – this is the only basketball talk we really have. So now it's going to be speculating on if Jani Broome comes back or not. So, but, yeah, I had to get that off my chest. Clarify something from last night. We did miss – I say we. We missed – there was a misunderstanding about the front part of the clip. Maybe I didn't set it up quite well enough for Daryl. But regardless, that was only a fraction of the real conversation. The real conversation was it's not a surprise that Auburn is where they are, and they have a just as talented roster as Alabama, and I'd put the roster up against anybody in the country. So last thing, we're going to talk about Junior Day, and I'm not going to go too much into it, but there a couple more visitors were added, and now you have 10 top 100 players scheduled to be here on Saturday. And that list is obviously expected to grow. The monumental, wave of momentum. That's a lot of momentums. Monumental and momentum. There's a lot of the wave that this could create Saturday. The electricity from the basketball game. The list of guys all in the same spot, being able to be in the same room together and look at each other and say, that dude's elite and he's here. That dude's elite and he's here. Look at that guy over there. That guy's the number two player in the whole dadgum country and he's here. There's something going on here. Let's take a little bit of a deeper look at Auburn. Let's dive in here. Let's talk a little bit more. Let's take this a little bit more serious because Auburn's not playing around. This weekend could be big. And we are going to do our best to keep you in the loop at thebarnauburn.com on everything, all the behind-the-scenes stuff, all the stuff that you won't hear elsewhere. That's the place to be for this weekend, okay? So if you want to get locked in for this weekend and make sure that you're part of the action, you need to go, again, to thebarnauburn.com, subscribe for only $75 for a year. You get $25 off for 2025. And that gets you all the way through. I mean, just think about it. It gets you all the way through this point next year. So you get through all the recruiting, the whole football season, all the portal, all the signing day, everything. You make your way all the way through to this year, and you get to do it and take a big chunk off of it by just go right now. You don't even have to have a code. It's just automatically in there. So definitely give us a shot. Guys, I really appreciate you listening. Let's get this week kicked off with a bang. Everybody stay safe. I know in Alabama, if you live in the South, when you got snow on the ground, everybody freaks out. So I hope everybody's got their milk and bread. The grocery stores were insane last night, and I'm sure they're going to be insane today. It's going to be a cold one. So bundle up and have a great day and have a great week, and we'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.